You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how plants in many more ways than one can save your skin. I promise this conversation will blow your mind and will blow the pimples right off your face. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Today's episode is all about the power of plants, and I can think of no better sponsor for this show than a company who makes consuming more plants more easy. Amazing Grass. Point blank, I love amazing grasses, which if you listen to this podcast or take a peek at my Instagram, you surely know by now. Their green superfood powders are an insanely tasty blend of nutritious greens, phytonutrient-packed fruits, veggies, grasses, digestive enzymes, and probiotics that I can't and don't want to live without. Don't make me live without it. I'm personally an enormous fan of their watermelon energy flavor, which I drink practically every morning. But they've got a massive assortment of grassy products to check out and fall in love with. They even have a kid's superfood, chocolate flavored, which I wish my mommy fed me when I was a kid instead of that Ovaltine crap. Anyway, to make Amazing Grass even more amazing, if that's possible, they're offering Party in My Plants podcast listeners 40% off. Yes, 40, almost 50% off all of your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use the coupon code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. That's PLANTPARTY40 at checkout on amazinggrass.com. And all that info is linked in the show notes at partyinmyplants.com/32. And in case you need further proof that good things come to those who listen to the Party in My Plants podcast, my guest today, who I'll tell you about in un momento, hooked us up with a 15% discount code off her amazingly, truly natural skincare line, SW Basics. If you go to swbasics.com and use plants15 at checkout. And trust me, after hearing about all SW Basics has to offer you, you're going to want to take me up on that. So onward to the episode. Today, it's with great excitement that I let you eavesdrop on my conversation with Adina Grigori, the founder of SW Basics, which is the truly natural skincare line I literally just mentioned when I told you about the code PLANTS15, which can save you 15% on swbasics.com. Oh man, where do I even start with Adina? Adina is hands down one of the coolest peeps I've ever spoken to, as you'll hear in this chat. Aside from being cool, Adina's a freaking skin genius and a rebel. Her first book, Skin Cleanse, really turned the skincare world on its head when it revealed the truth that to really get clear, happy skin, the more simple, the more better. And the more plants, the more better too. Then her second book, which recently came out, Just the Essentials, which should be retitled to The Essential Oil Fun Bible, in my opinion, shares the actual research facts about essential oils and her actual DIY strategies for using them. And spoiler, she calls these guys plant-based powerhouses, which I'm totally pumped about. I'd say get a pen and paper out to take notes because there's such great info in this episode, but I already did that for you on partyinmyplants.com/32. You are welcome. And also, thanks so much for listening. Adina, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited. And I'm just so grateful and pumped that you wanted to come chat because I got an email recently from a listener asking for more conversation around food and skin. And you were literally the first and only person to come to my mind to talk about that.
Yes.
Yes.
I feel so special.
You are special. You know, I've seen your book Skin Cleanse around everywhere. And I was also recently introduced to your product line SW Basics, which is amazing.
Thank you.
You've done so much. But I do feel like I'm really late to the SW Basics train because I mean, it's in Target.
I don't think you're the only one. I think that's a pretty common story. It's like very typical for us to be like, it's this brand, SW Basics. And there, people are like, what? And then we're like, we're in Target. And they're like, oh, okay, sorry. Tell me more.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it at like little boutique-y places. And then I learned, you're at the opposite. You're at Target. So when did you start SW Basics?
Pretty crazy. I mean, I really started thinking about it in 2009. I had gone to nutrition school, graduated in 2007, was working as a personal trainer and was doing holistic nutrition, but really started thinking through the idea of skincare in 2009, started experimenting in my kitchen, and launched it then. But really, I consider that to have been almost like the experimental sort of lab behind the scenes stage. I was on Etsy and I was doing local markets in Brooklyn, but I was also working full time and just doing this on nights and weekends. So 2011, so basically for 2 years I did that. And then 2011, I quit, stopped everything and really went, dedicated myself sort of full time to this because I felt like it was, you know, viable and necessary and could really kind of go somewhere. So it really is kind of a weird startup because it wasn't like, oh, on this date, I just was like, here's my business plan and I'm going to go for it. It was more like easing into it.
That's great. It happened organically.
Yeah.
Is pretty fitting. And where else is it sold besides Target?
So like you said, a lot of boutiques, that's how we really started out is when I started, I was going door to door and I was going to places like indie boutiques to me are, you know, we're an indie brand. And so that's where made the most sense to me. And I felt like that's also where people really, a lot of times when you're going into an independent boutique, you are not talking to a salesperson, right? You are talking to the owner of that store. You are talking to someone who really, really understands how that store has gone and who the customer is and what the products are. So I felt like that was a really good place for us to kind of get started and really find our audience. So we've maintained a lot of that. It's been really important for me to not lose that for the brand. And then Target came on and it was like a huge undertaking. So we kind of paused trying to grow anywhere else. And then recently we started working with like Credo, which is an amazing store that's growing really quickly. Folane, same thing. These are sort of like natural beauty retailers that are growing on the East and West Coasts. And then we work with Pharmica, which is also based in the Midwest and is an amazing sort of integrated pharmacy. Cool. We've started sort of working with Natural Grocery. We're about to start working with Vitamin Shoppe. But we're really just now starting kind of that, like, to get back into that world of, like, okay, where should we go next? Because Target, like I said, was just such a huge leap for us. It was like, oh, shoot, we need to, like, make sure that we really do this right before we think about where
else. And pump out so many more products.
Oh, my God,
absolutely. To fulfill all the orders.
It's like a whole other level. Yes.
I watch Shark Tank, so I know all about that.
So you know.
I know.
That's, yeah, people are like, what about Shark Tank? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty legit.
Yeah. Pretty legit. So are your products really just like mass produced versions of the DIY stuff that you've made for yourself and clients at your home?
Absolutely. Same formulas from day one. We haven't changed anything. I still formulate everything. I still start in my kitchen. That's where every single product starts.
Right here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. And then, we go. So now the only difference is, we call an amazing large co-manufacturer that understands that they're doing significantly better than we do and can make huge amounts of products. And basically, I teach them the formulas, they learn them, and then they start making them for us just in much larger quantities and certified organic, which is something we couldn't have done on our own.
Right. That is so cool. And in your book, it's funny because you give away so many recipes. You're like giving away all your secrets.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's like, those are the roots of the brand. But I also think that people, I don't know, I just think the old school sort of like proprietary methods of doing things. Oh, this is like hidden. Oh, we have something special that we're not telling you. I just think, first of all, usually that's hiding something that's bad for you. Mm. And second of all, I think it's largely because this is how I am as a consumer. Like, I'm not going to buy something where I don't know what they're putting in it. And so why would I want to sell you? Like, it's just not comfortable for me to sell something like that to someone. People find this shocking, but in my mind, it's like, if everyone goes to DIY on their own, and so we go out of business, like, freaking hallelujah. That's what should be happening. That's but amazing. In the meantime, it's the same as food. You're not cooking all of your food. You should be able to go to a restaurant or to get takeout or wherever you go to the grocery store and get food that's just as good as something you would cook. And if that's not the case, then you have a problem. And I think that's especially the case in beauty. Why should you go be buying something that you couldn't make yourself? It should be the other way around.
I love that your skin philosophy is the exact same as my food philosophy. You know, like reading your books, it was just all the parallel. I felt like I was reading not a diet book, but like a food nourishing your insides book. But it was really about your outsides. And it's amazing how you draw the parallels and how you really lay out there that the two are completely connected.
Absolutely. I mean, they're so connected. And that's really where the entire company came from is realizing in working, especially with women over and over, how much that has become disconnected and how much the beauty industry is to blame for that, that we've been convinced that there is such a thing as a product that you can put on your skin that's going to fix what's going on. Like that is complete and total BS.
Right.
And so it just felt, it's audacious to me, like how much the beauty industry is kind of pitching that sort of idea. And I think until women sort of get back to realizing, like, what am I doing? Products are the last step. So hang on, what else am I doing? And what's actually going on? And then your products should be like a treat. It should be like, oh, I put this on. I already feel really good about my skin. But when I put this product on, I feel like that much better. Wow. Not, oh my God, what am I going to do today with my routine? Because my skin's freaking out. Your routine is not the thing that's going to fix that.
Wow. That is such an incredibly opposite way of looking at it than what we've been taught, that products are a treat. You know, you think that products products equal skincare.
Right.
Like that's what it is.
Don't you feel like the second I say it, you're like, oh yeah, no duh. Especially you. You're like, this is what I mean. It's like, especially people who really think about their food, you already know that. You've just had a bunch of stuff layered on top of it telling you not to know that.
I mean, it's crazy to me how BS the skincare industry is. You know, and reading your books really showed me, you know, that honestly, I don't really have skin problems myself. So I don't really, you know, experience thinking about this on a daily basis, but I've enlarged pores and that's been an embarrassing thing in my life. And, you know, so learning about that when I realized, ooh, this is kind of something I'd like to change, my immediate thought was like, what product do I need to get? I would never think, you know, what can I look at in my lifestyle to try to change this problem on my face. And that's just because that's what we've been taught from day one. And I would argue that the skincare industry is even sketchier than the food industry, because we know that the food, you know, affects our insides, but we don't know that our food affects our outsides.
Right.
Oh, God.
Totally. Because how would they make money off of that?
Right.
It's like keeping everything separate is so much better. And I think it makes it, to complicate the issue even more, I think there's also this entire other layer of making people feel like, for example, enlarged pores is a problem in the first place. But maybe that's a whole nother podcast episode. But let me just tell you, I bet your skin is beautiful and perfect and you feel bad.
Thanks.
Because you watch a lot of commercials that tell you, hey, here's all the things about your skin that you should be worried about. When in reality, step one should be, do you feel good? And then from there, let's talk about what actually, like exactly, okay, actually, I feel really good. Now that I think about it, when I look in the mirror, there's nothing actually going on aside from things I've been told should be going on. Or secondly, actually, I don't feel good. And I look in the mirror and I don't feel good. How do I fix that? The answer is not going to be a product. Ooh,
that's really, no, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, you know, it is about feeling good. And usually I would argue that, because I do feel good. And I think my skin is a reflection of that. And I guess my question to you is, with clients and people you've encountered throughout the years, do you find a direct correlation between not feeling good and not having ideal skin in their mind?
Oh my God. I would actually say, and this is something that I felt I don't have expertise in, so it's not, I don't really touch on it that much in skin cleanse, but I think it's sort of woven through the tone. The number one thing that gives people bad skin is whatever is going on in their brains over anything else. Food doesn't matter. I actually find very commonly, if you're the type of person that's going to call a nutritionist or email a nutritionist and want to work with them, chances are you are already doing everything right. You know, have you ever heard the saying, like, if you're someone that reads parenting books, then you're going to be a good parent?
I haven't, but it makes sense.
It's exactly like that.
Because you care, because you're trying.
Yeah, exactly. You're already like, people keep food journals for me, and I'll be like, girl, you are doing great. Relax. Everything's fine. And it's all the stress. It's all like, I don't feel good. Like, I feel bad about myself. This is going on. And it's just somewhere that I've debated for a while, actually going to study psychology, because I think it'd be really different if I could go, well, what's going on at home, or what's going on in your relationship, or how are you feeling? Oh, you're not in a relationship. How are you feeling about being single? And I think that that's really where so many issues come from, because they're just being manifested.
100%. I've thought about going back to study psychology too, for the same reason, because it's not always, I mean, bottom line, eat more plants than you do crap. That's your philosophy that I learned, and that's my philosophy that's been for a long time. But if you're eating the plants with a bad attitude or with stress, the stress is going to negate the effects of the plants.
It will win.
And so I guess, you know, what we're learning here and what we're talking about now is that can also affect your face. That can't just, it can go beyond your digestion. It can go beyond, you know, bloating. It can go beyond your weight. But now we're adding another layer, folks. Like, it can affect your skin too.
Oh, absolutely. You can do every little detail right. If you are stressed out, you are going to break out. That is just, because think about it. It also just makes sense logically too, in this, just like everything else. It's like, you are, stress affects your hormones. Hormones affect your skin, and your hormones are extremely susceptible. They shift very easily, and they only need to shift very slightly for something to change. Think about headaches, right? Every sort of physical manifestation is something that shifts very slightly in your body, and stress, worry, obsession, like things that you're sort of going over in your mind over and over again are going to affect how you feel internally. It's interesting because I think a lot of what's going on in wellness, like the sort of trendiness of meditation, kind of doesn't do itself a justice, because it just kind of blindly tells everyone, like, go meditate, it's good for you. But it's never really getting to the root of, like, why you need this. You need to calm down. You need to be coping with what's going on in your mind. It is wreaking havoc on your body. But that's why that stuff is getting trendy, is because we're trying to, like, get out of our mind.
Well, how did you discover all this? Like, let's back up. And I really can't get the image of you washing your hair upside down out of my mind. And you even have, like, a doodle of it in your first book, Sink Cleanse, right? Like, the upside down. That's freaking hilarious. So can you just tell us, like, how you went from having skin issues of your own to realizing, you know, kind of that everything you've been taught has been a lie?
Yeah, I mean, that shower moment is also, it's so funny that I'm like, everyone picture me in the shower, but okay.
I know, but I can't. I just picture the head to the hair.
Mostly, exactly, because it's such a sad situation that I've been really sensitive my whole life in general, right? Like, stomach aches, headaches, like nagging, very lucky to never have really serious issues, but chronic issues my whole life. And of course, as a kid, had a terrible diet and was obsessed with dieting and all sorts of the things that I think most of us go through, but had healed so much of that. So went to nutrition school, was eating super clean, was doing everything that I thought was right, and was still the last sort of my, like, final frontier was my skin, where it was like, I'm doing everything right, but I'm still itchy as shit all the time. I have terrible acne. My scalp is itchy. And I had reached the point where what I was doing was relying on dermatologists, which now I say with, like, an attitude, but obviously, like, that's what we do. You go to the dermatologist, and getting, not really getting answers, but instead getting medications and treatments and things that I was layering onto my skin, where I reached the point that I was using two different treatments, one for a rash that I had over my body, and then a different one for how itchy my scalp was. And if the one for my scalp touched my legs, it would cause complete chaos. And so I was showering, like, with my head upside down. And that was just this moment where it was like, what is happening? This is ridiculous. Like, is this what the rest of my life is going to look like? I can't do this anymore. Yeah. And then I think the scariest thing to do in that situation, and it's what the number one thing I want people to take away from Skin Cleanse, and they freak out every single day. I get emails where people are like, you have to be kidding me. But it's, I stopped using everything. I tell people, stop using everything. You don't need any of that stuff. And when I did that, mostly out of desperation and out of like, okay, well, maybe in a couple of days, my skin will just at least not be itchy. Maybe the relief I get there will just give me a break, and then sort of fully expecting to go back to my routine at some point, but saw so much relief that I was like, oh, wow. Wait a second. Maybe this is the problem in the first place. And that sort of led me down this path of, I'm going to learn all of this because I feel like I've just uncovered a nightmare.
Yeah. So you just stopped using all your products, all these prescriptions and creams and all this stuff, and it just got better?
Yeah. I stopped using everything, shampoo, soap, face wash. It was like, that's it. I don't know what's going on. My sister always makes fun of me because she's like, or you could have gone in and gotten tested for what was giving you a reaction, because we're both sensitive in the same way. And she's been tested. But at the same time, it's like, why? To hear exactly what I know, which is that all of those ingredients are giving my skin a reaction. Hmm. This was the same. To me, it's exactly the same. You're doing the same thing. Like, sure, you can go get tested. But in my mind, you should be avoiding way more than whatever comes out on that list. And you need to find on your own, like when you take a break and you add products back in one at a time, that's when you really get to see how your skin's reacting. Because just like with food, you build up a tolerance, you build up an immunity where you kind of don't notice as much anymore. But my argument is that people are using stuff on their skin that's giving them sort of very light chronic reactions and they just don't even notice.
So you say you could get tested for...
So you can actually go to the dermatologist and they'll do patch tests on your skin, where they'll come back to you and they'll go, here's a list of ingredients that you had a reaction to.
Interesting. Kind of like food allergy tests.
Exactly. Very similar. Yeah. So they put all of these different ingredients on your skin and then they look for the reaction that your skin has. And then they'll come back and they'll go, well, you shouldn't use this list of 20 ingredients, which P.S. Okay. So people should do this because what happens is, like, my sister, for example, got her results in Kent. I mean, it is like there are a couple of ingredients that are in literally every product. Like, she has the hardest time finding products for her skin now, but she'll notice, like, she'll wash her hands with soap that has one of those ingredients in it and she'll have a reaction immediately. And now she knows. So there is definitely a benefit. It's almost like that's what dermatologists should be doing in the first place. The second you walk in.
I'm surprised they don't. Is that a specialty thing that you have to ask for?
Yeah. Because I think visiting doctors and especially dermatologists has so much to do with what you're self-reporting. So my sister go in and say, hey, here's what's going on. I think something's wrong. I think I have a sensitivity. Can you test me for this? And if that's not what you're asking for, if you're going in and you're, and this is what I was doing, is I was going in and I was going, my legs are itchy. Can you fix it? And I was prescribed a steroid cream. And that's just, they're giving you what you ask for, right? Which is not even their fault. I just think the system is a little bit messed up because it should sort of, they should kind of go like, let's slow down and start at square one. And instead it's about the quick fixes.
Right. And your philosophy is, I think, the perfect fix, which is, you know, really start with your diet, I guess. Would you say that diet is the number one factor that affects, you know, positively and negatively your skin?
Absolutely. The food journal first, product journal second. Like, it's always start looking at your food. It's the thing that's going to, because like I said, the products you're layering onto a symptom that's already there. So if you're itchy and then you're applying a cream, like, oh, I put this cream on that helps the itch so much. That's just helping soothe it. That's not
it's a
making
Band-Aid.
It go away.
Yeah,
what's causing
so
it in the first
why
place?
Why is it itchy?
And yeah. And the thing about food journaling and looking at your food is that same thing. It's almost instant. People know within a couple of days, it's magical, actually, how quickly people will be like, oh my gosh, I did this for 2 days and I see the problem. And it's something that they've never even thought about before.
I laugh out loud. In Skin Cleanse, you describe a food journal as this new trendy way of feeling really crappy about how you eat, which is so true. Food journals are the worst.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's hard to look at yourself in general. And then on top of that, it's especially hard. This is why I think psychology is so tied to it, right? It's like no one really wants to, this is something I found when I was doing nutrition out loud with people one-on-one, is like when you're talking to them, they don't do anything wrong. None of us do anything wrong. Oh my God, I'm perfect. I eat such a good diet. And then it's like, you can't really hide once you're just with yourself. And it's, you need to write down literally everything that passes your lips. It's a very different story once that happens. But oh, I totally. Think that it can be dangerous because I think I've also had clients who then become obsessive about calorie counting and then obsessive about, okay, but like I said, they're eating really well, but they're really stressed about this one thing in their diet. And it's like, that's not the point. The point is not to be perfect. The point is to find what's making you feel bad and remove that. And that's it.
So how do you recommend somebody do a food journal without it sucking? Because I mean, I eat really clean and really great in my opinion, but I even, if you told me to do a food journal, I'd really resist against that because I don't want to look at what I'm eating. It's also it's stressful to remember what you're eating. And also for your recommendation, I mean, you're trying to encourage people to look at how they feel and how their skin is in relation to the food. So how does like one get started with a food journal?
So it's exactly that. I think the way that you make a food journal not feel bad is you focus on the emotions and the symptoms, not on the food. Mm-hmm. So I think historically the way that food journals have been treated is actually the way that they really started out was write down what you ate and then write down the amount of calories, right? That they were born out of this like sort of weight loss as a weight loss tool. But what I'm saying is not write down that you woke up and had cereal and then here's what the calories were and here's what the micros and the macros came out to. What I'm saying is sit down, eat the cereal, write down that you ate the cereal. And then what happened? How did you feel? Were you bloated? Did you have a ton of energy? Did you have an energy crash? Did you get a headache 4 hours later? Did your skin break out the next morning? And that by looking at that, you're kind of looking at your food, first of all, as part of your overall wellness, not as this thing that is emotional, but rather as this thing that's just like, oh, like it almost, I think, just removes you from how emotionally attached you can get to food. Because when you're able to look at the cereal and go, oh, actually, I noticed that was fine. This happens a lot too. I actually felt really guilty that I was eating that every day, but I've actually noticed it gives me a lot of energy. I'm full until lunch. It's fine. What I found is my salad at lunch is the problem. So it kind of takes out what we've been told we're supposed to be doing and we're supposed to feel good about and supposed to feel bad about. And it lets you really tune in with yourself and go, actually, the salad is not working for me.
So it's more of like a symptoms journal than it is a critique of your food consumption.
Exactly. Because all of what you feel is a critique is based on what you know right now, what you've been told right now. And nutritionists know this, and people are starting to realize this, but that stuff changes all the time. Are eggs good for you? We don't freaking know, because 1 year they're good for you, and then the next year they're terrible for you.
Right.
So that stuff is all just like where the science is. Yes, like there's up-to-date science, and we need to keep, especially nutritionists, I think you have to stay ahead of it. And like you were saying, obviously vegetables, yes, junk, no. But beyond that, I think when people are like consuming things that are good for them and they just have no idea what's going on, that's because you've been listening to too many people tell you what's right for you and they don't actually know what's right for you.
Totally. And so would you say that everybody, you know, with skin struggles should just, their first step should be a food journal?
Yes. Yep. Step one, food journal. And then step two, elimination diet.
Right. Elimination diet based on what you learned from the food journal.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in your book, Skin Cleanse, which is amazing, you offer a good foods list. And I mean, your good foods for skin are my good foods for gut and health and energy and just life, right? So they're the same thing. But I was hoping we could just kind of go through the good foods list and I'll list the good foods and you tell me why it's good for your skin.
Sure.
Okay. So the first one is greens, plants. Why are greens so good for the skin?
So greens, I think something that we kind of get really caught up in and loop around for the skin has to do with, oh my God, I need products that are antioxidants. I need products that are high in nutrients. I need products that are full of vitamins and minerals. The number one thing that you can do for your skin that has all of that stuff in it is greens.
Yeah.
Like no question. You are going to, this is my favorite thing also, the trend to like, oh, there's kale in my face wash. It's like, okay, nice try. That's not going to do anything. You need to cook the kale and you need to eat it. And that's how you're going to get that.
Assimilate the nutrients.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
So to me, it's the greatest delivery of nutrients for the lowest cost, which is really important too, right? Like, you don't need to eat fancy. You just need to eat greens.
Do people really put kale in face washes?
Yes. Are you kidding? That's like one of the things that kills me is like the natural sort of industry is like moving in this direction of like, it's so good for you. It has spinach in it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And not to mention, if you see a product that has quote fresh vegetables and fruits in it, then it is preserved to all hell because that's not possible. Mm. So that's why one of the things I'm like, yeah, eat greens. And then if you really want to cook them and take part of that water, let's say, and turn it into skincare, then do it right there. You should be DIYing it. Oh, you should cool. not be buying something that's full of preservatives.
It's so funny that you're so encouraging about DIY, but you offer products. It must be kind of a weird thing for you emotionally inside, right?
Oh, yes.
I don't know. They're somewhat contradictory. However, what you're doing is you're making, because listen, I'm not a DIYer. I had a really weird, bad, embarrassing experience. I found this recipe for like this hair glowing thing, mask thing with apple cider vinegar and coconut oil. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I put it in my hair in the shower and I let it do its thing. I followed the girl's instructions and then I rinsed it out and then I went out to a comedy show and dinner. My boyfriend during dinner was like, your hair looks different. And I'm like, ooh, it's working. Like, it's so shiny. Yay. I pop into the bathroom like at later throughout the night. My hair looked as if it was sopping wet, but like frozen in place. I literally put on my beanie and wore it throughout the entire comedy show. And that's funny so enough, sad. The comic kept making fun of these other girls for having beanies on their heads, like indoors. And I was like hiding in the corner. I was so scared he was going to call me out. And I was prepared. I was in my mind because I used to do stand-up comedy. So I was prepared to like do a little bit. If he was like, why are you wearing a beanie? I'd be like, because I did this DIY hair thing and it's bullshit in it. So basically what I learned was I was supposed to shampoo it out of my hair.
Right.
I just rinsed it out. So the coconut oil just sat in my hair. Oh, I can't even.
So sad. I'm
so
now
I won't
sorry.
Do DIY things anymore. So I like that you're offering DIY things kind of like you do it for me because I'd rather buy it than have that experience again.
Yeah, yeah. So you're a perfect person because I think that experience is extremely common. I think that it largely comes from, sadly, the internet, which is an amazing mm-hmm. place and a wealth of knowledge. But I think particularly with DIYing, to go on Google and to be like, I'm going to go and make this thing, I'm just going to whip it up and it's going to be fine. Chances are you're going to come upon some blog where actually commonly the person themselves has not even done the DIY,
right?
Because the internet has become just this huge place of like, how much stuff can we like aggregate and put out in the world to get clicks. But also that you're just not, it's not someone there with you being like, hang on, like I've done this before, let's do it together. Here's what we need to do. And so what we're trying to do as a brand is go, we're going to ease you into it. And we're going to make it so that it's not scary. You don't even have to do it at all. So if you want to buy the products and that's the end of that, that's totally fine. But in my mind, the best case scenario is that people sort of feel comfortable easing back into it by going, hey, actually the products made me feel like I could mix them. I took your cleanser and I added some avocado to it and yeah, I felt okay. And then I eased into it and I got a little more advanced and I added a little bit of essential oil. So that's the goal, to kind of like bring, because I think, and this actually to touch on the essential oil thing, think about the essential oil industry has people have very similar stories about essential oils that you just had about DIY, which is that I tried it, something went horribly wrong, I'm never ever doing it again.
Yeah.
The problem is if people do not use essential oils, then these magical little elixirs are going to disappear. They're going to disappear from shelves and we're not going to have access to them anymore. So basically what I'm trying to do is to go, okay, I know you had a bad experience. That's because the education and the information was not there. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help give it to you. And then I'm going to ease you into this in a way that makes you not feel like you can't ever do it again. But I'm sorry on behalf of DIYers everywhere. I'm sorry that happened to you.
No, I appreciate your products existing so I don't have to do that. And that's totally right, because, you know, I think you're kind of this bridge between products that we don't recognize the ingredients in, but are told because they have kale or goji berries or whatever, orange in it, that they're great, and products that we make at home. You're this, you make the products at home and allow us to purchase it. So we still feel like we're putting something fancy on our face, but then we realize, hey, I could actually just make this in my kitchen. And then we do.
Right.
Which is perfect. So we'll get more into that a little bit, but I want to go back to the next good food, which is fruit. Fruit is amazing for the skin. Why?
Okay. So fruit, I feel like it's a bad rap because we're like obsessed with sugar these days, and not that that's not incorrect and not that we don't need to cut back on sugar, but fruit is different from sugar because fruit is full of fiber and most of us do not get enough fiber. And same thing as greens. Fruit actually is full, like you want vitamin C for your skin, go eat an orange and you are done. You do not need to put on 17 different serums with vitamin C in them. You just need to eat one orange. And my honest sort of opinion, because this is, I think, research that kind of is not out yet, so I don't want to say that it's a fact, but my opinion is that we actually are struggling with our skin and with our health in general because of how much we're starting to kind of turn away from fruit. Which is really sad to me because they're full of enzymes, right? Like papaya. Papaya is an amazing fruit. It is basically helps you pre-digest your food. Right. And that's really important because if I'm saying eat all these greens and then you're not digesting the greens, then you're not going to get anything out of them.
Right.
So basically vitamin level and then the ability to like get this fiber in your system that helps you process everything else. They're sort of, it's like you're supplementing.
Totally. And I love that you're also big on digestive enzymes because I am too. And I know that, you know, like you just said, we need to be able to assimilate and digest the nutrients in the healthy foods we're eating in order for them to benefit our skin. So I like that you're also an enthusiast, it seems, of digestive enzymes if we struggle with digesting.
Yes. And I think a lot of people do. And I think that's from sort of how dirty our diets have become. But I think it's like, you know, when people think through like healing and detoxing and cleansing, which are other things that have become really trendy. To me, that's like a really hard step to decide to go on a cleanse tomorrow or for 21 days, you're like cutting out everything you eat. Like, sure, that's awesome. It's a lot harder than people let on. And so in my mind, a digestive enzyme is like, let's like start at step like 0.01. Like, let's start here. And then if you want to work your way up to a cleanse or a detox, great. But let's start by like helping your body actually just process the food you're eating.
Totally. 100%. Especially the healthy food that we're eating.
Exactly. Totally.
So next is fat, which I know, I mean, I'm an enthusiast of avocado, coconut, you mentioned olive oil, flax, nuts, seeds. Why are fats so good for our skin?
So fat largely has to do with what's happening with our skin being really dry and what's happening with our another obsession we have, which is aging. And I think this is sort of linked to hydration, but I think that people kind of typically tend to kind of get really caught up in the idea that, oh, drink more water. It's good for your skin to drink more water. That's definitely true. But the way that you're actually going to lubricate your insides to help produce collagen, to make it so that your skin is supple and soft, is by eating fat. And I think that there is a very clear correlation between how our culture has sort of become really, really entrenched in the idea of not premature aging, but just the idea that like, oh my God, I'm really young and I'm getting wrinkles, and that we don't eat fat and that you need fat and that fat keeps your skin really looking young and firm and really
like an avocado, like well, a beautiful smooth avocado.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, it like makes sense once you say it, but I think that we're so scared, everyone, even if you've read stuff where you're like, I know I should be eating it, chances are you are not eating enough of it. And over that happens for me. People are dry, they're itchy. And the number one thing I see in their food journals is that they're essentially eating like fat free. It's crazy.
Interesting. And is there sort of a recommended amount of fat that you would, not to like count it, but like, do you think people should try adding like a healthy, you know, these are all plant-based fats we're talking about, avocado, coconut, olive oil, flax, nuts, seeds, all plant. Would you say that we should try to get it in with every meal?
Yes. So I actually think this is somewhere where the paleo community is kind of like, I think with nutrition theories, it's kind of like everyone's right about something and right. No one's right about everything. But with paleo, I actually think so paleo, they recommend going as high as 50%. I don't think that they're wrong about that. I think that that's a really, really difficult thing to figure out how to do. But I have to say, there are days where I'm like, whoa, I'm going really far today. Like I'm really going for it. And I never feel worse. I always feel better. And so again, this does go back to how are you feeling and do you have, because again, if you're having too much fat, you're going to end up with trouble digesting and you're going to notice if you're taking anything too far. And even as far as plant-based, like the reason I recommend plant-based is because for skin, I've just found over and over that people have typically end up recognizing that they have problems with dairy. Mm-hmm. But whatever works for you, right? For some people it's butter, for some people it's ghee, for some people it's yogurt. That's totally fine. I think it's just about where you people don't realize, just like they don't even notice how little water they're drinking, I think they also don't notice how little fat they're eating.
That's interesting.
So I think that I think upwards of 50% might actually be right. I think that people to get yourself to 30 would already be crazy because I think people are hovering around like 10 to 20 typically.
You're probably right. I mean, I'm sure you're right. You're looking at a lot of people's food journals, but just based on my own experience, I could definitely say that I'm hovering probably in that area as well. And olive oil, I mean, you write about it in Skin Cleanse. You can actually, is it true that you can just use it as a makeup remover on its own?
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's
oh my
crazy.
God, try it. It's so good.
What do you do?
It's so easy. You take the olive oil and you apply so our makeup remover is an oil-based makeup remover. And I think people have gotten really into have started to get into oil cleansing and things like that. That's olive oil is a perfect ingredient for that stuff. It's really, really light. Obviously I'm always like, try to get something that's organic and try to make it so it's like unfiltered and cold pressed. But, no matter the case, it's a really, really light oil that's very easy to massage into your skin with your hands or with cotton. Yeah. And then you can leave it on because it's that light. It's not going to clog your pores, or you can rinse it clean or follow with face wash. But yeah, it's amazing.
That's crazy. Can you do that with coconut oil too? Cause it smells a little better.
So coconut oil I think is, probably the more common one and the one, yeah, it's definitely like a little bit sexier. Coconut oil though, on average, people tend to be, more commonly sensitive to coconut oil than they are to olive oil. Huh. So I think this is another thing that's happened is that ingredients will sort of get trendy.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, I'm using coconut oil like 17 times a day in like four different ways.
Right.
But they don't notice that, oh, I'm breaking out and it's not for me. And so, and olive oil, I just think has that, in my experience, that happens a little bit less frequently. So I tell people to kind of start there and then like ease their way into coconut oil. But I think we've kind of crossed over to like, people are like, I drench myself in it, which is great. You just have to sort of, again, pay attention to your skin and be like, does it look good or does it, am I red?
Totally. Because people, I mean, you see these articles out there like 49 ways to use coconut oil. And so, yeah, people are just like, I use it head to toe. And I guess that's where the product journal idea comes into place. You know, we mentioned the food journal, but then you also suggest next step is the product journal, which is to take inventory of everything that you are touching, which could even be your pet, right? Or gym equipment or gym towels. I mean, everything. And note how that produces symptoms, not just the food.
Yeah, your sheets, right? Your, what are you washing everything in? Are you sending stuff out? Are you having issues with stuff coming back from the laundromat? Did you change your detergent recently? So this is another thing that people we make little changes in our lives and we just don't even notice. And they can be not colossal, but right, they can have big effects that we're just like, oh shoot, I didn't even realize, but yeah, I bought a different detergent. I mean, and this stuff runs so deep because detergent, for example, just to kind of like stick with that one because it's so clean. What about sometimes companies change their formulas and you don't know that? So it's all these little things where it's like until you start to really pinpoint oh my God, I just realized it is, it's my pillowcase I'm having a reaction to. It is my detergent. And I tried a different one and I got better. But that takes a little bit of work to really get clear on what is happening.
But the first line, you know, of attack should really just be the food. That seems, and you've noticed a lot of clients just clear up just with diet first.
Over and overnight. I mean, that's why I mentioned the dairy. People most commonly, but it can really be all sorts of things. Like sometimes, no joke, it's nuts. Sometimes it's like the oils that they're eating. Sometimes it's, but dairy, I think, is the thing that people typically, particularly because I think it tends to manifest, sensitivity to dairy tends to manifest in skin problems. So that's right. Probably why I tend to see people with dairy issues. But they'll look at their journal. They'll be like, oh my God, I was itchy. I had dairy that morning and then I was itchy that night. And then they'll cut it out. And seriously, 24 hours later, they'll be like, I'm better. And that's just not quite the same with products. I just think it takes a little bit more time to be like, oh, I did this. I cut it out. And now it's, you know, it's been a couple weeks without it and I'm better.
It's also less obvious. I mean, and it's harder to pick up on, you know, like your detergent or, I mean, how, if you're using a towel from the gym, you don't even know what they're using on it. So that's exactly. More complicated. So definitely I think attacking the food first and trying to make as much progress with what you put into your body that you can control and only you can control.
Yes, exactly. You have the most control over that.
Totally.
Right.
So what are other, you know, you said that dairy is something that people cut out and you notice a lot of benefits right away. I mean, I know you have a whole bad foods list and you mentioned dairy, you mentioned soy milk, which I mean, you basically say, and what I agree with, if you're going to have soy, save it for your tempeh, your tofu, your miso. Don't do the soy milk thing, right? It's just so processed and unnecessary.
And there's so many other options now. It's like 10 years ago, I would have understood. And I think it was a huge, actually, like positive step forward. But now it's like, I went to the store the other day. I was like, there must be 15 nut milks here. It's crazy.
There's like hazelnut.
I know.
What else? Oh my macadamia God. Nut.
Macadamia nut milk. It's amazing. It's so
you can make your own. And then you mentioned that fried Chinese food you eat once in a while. Is that just like, you know, processed, crappy, gross food?
Yeah, mostly I pointed that one out because it seems so obvious. But I think the real issue is that the quote once in a while is the real issue, that people be like, no, I do it once a month. And then they'll start food journaling and they'll be like, oh my God, I order takeout 4 times in a week.
Right.
Or I'm like, if it's not takeout, it's that I'm making stuff that's like a shortcut. I'm not really cooking.
Like a frozen meal.
Exactly.
So just crap food. I mean, essentially, and meat, processed meats can be a problem, it sounds like. But have you found that people that, you know, are paleo and eat higher quality meats and fish, is that seem to be okay with people's skin or like, is it worse, much worse for the processed, you know, deli meats?
Yes. So what I found in my experience is actually people that eat really high quality meat don't end up eating that much meat because you can't. If you're really going to stick to that, you're going to have a lot of trouble finding it out at restaurants. You're going to have a lot of trouble even finding it at a lot of grocery stores. You're going to have to do a lot of work to get meat on your plate at home. So that there might be a correlation there, just that like by chance, they're not actually eating meat at every single meal. They're eating it like once in a while. But I actually think the real correlation is that if you are eating meat that is not grass-fed and free-range and free of all of the shit that they add to animals' diets and inject into their bodies, you are messing up your hormones. I mean, this is, and this is not even like earlier we were saying, oh, stress slightly shifts your hormones. And if your hormones slightly shift, then you're screwed. This is not a slight shift. Like if you are eating a burger, and this gets a little like, I feel bad talking about this stuff because it sounds so severe. But the truth is that it is kind of severe. If you're like going out and you're eating burgers every single day, or you're ordering meat out every single day, and that meat has been pumped full of antibiotics and hormones to make them a certain size, and you know, like this is a very easy rabbit hole to go down in Google. Like you do not need to trust me. That is going to show on your skin.
But we trust you.
And more importantly, it has more dramatic consequences. It's going to affect your fertility. It's going to affect your periods. It's going to affect your moods. Like that stuff to me is a huge, like people don't like to have their meat consumption questioned. And this is also goes back to the dairy. If you're eating organic dairy from your farmer's market, yes, that is very different than if you are buying
Dannon.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And eating so much more of that stuff. People are typically eating so much more of that stuff than they think, because even if you're vegetarian and you're going out to a restaurant and you get cheese on everything, like, that's not the cheese that.
Right. Right. You know? That did not come from like a farmer down the street.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And so you mentioned the meat, you know, effing with your hormones. In your book, it sounds like, you know, hormone, you know, screwage is really skin screwage as well. And is that why, you know, lack of exercise, lack of sleep, and an increase in stress all can really screw up your skin as well?
Yes to all of that, except actually exercise, which exercise is the only thing that helps your skin in and of itself, completely separately from what it does for your hormones.
Huh.
So the reason exercise like sort of gets its own call out in the book is because it's the only thing, there's nothing else, including any products, including food, nothing, sleep, nothing. Exercise is the only thing that in scientific studies, they test people's skin before an exercise regimen and after an exercise regimen, and their skin actually changes from just the exercise. It gets firmer, it gets younger, it produces more collagen, it fights cellulite. All of that stuff only happens from exercise.
Side note, that is my perfect time to ask that question. Is cellulite considered a skin problem?
I mean, I don't think so.
You don't think it's a skin problem?
I think it's genetic. Because
it's certainly
genetic.
A problem for me.
I mean, for me too. It's genetic. I think it's extremely common. I think it's a normal part of aging. I do think that it's getting worse. And so I think that it is something that is maybe tied. I think, again, actually, that it goes back to our fat consumption. And But I think that this might even be tied to like how our mothers were eating versus how our grandmothers were eating. So I think it's really, really like goes deep, but I don't think it's like ugly in the way that people act like it is. That shit drives me crazy. It's it's fine. Like, we all have it. It's just a thing that's happening. It's like balding for men. Like, is anyone sitting around freaking out about it? No.
And I like that, because that's my biggest insecurity in all of the world. So I appreciate you saying that for sure. And and also with exercise, I mean, what about like body breakouts? Can, you know, because I exercise every day and I definitely see stuff on my chest when I, you know, I don't always shower right after I eat and then I get caught up on my computer and all that stuff. So is body breakouts the same as skin breakouts?
Kind of, yes. So it does, body breakouts do typically happen from like sweat and toxins coming out of your sweat. They're a little bit trickier because we just spend so much more time. Like, your routine is, it's so much easier to focus on your face than it is on your body. But yeah, I mean, the number one thing I recommend for that is actually just throwing some sea salt in a bath and forcing yourself to actually take some bath time. So,
ooh, what does that do?
So you're like Dead Sea. The problem is that basically you have bacteria that's kind of sitting on top of your skin, and then the oil it's basically clogging your pores and making you break out. So sea salt will help fight the bacteria and then will kind of like help close up your pores. So it's just a really nice way. And I mean, you can also like get in the bath, and we have an exfoliant that's salt, oats, and almonds that we tell people to use on body breakouts. So you can also just like get in the shower and apply a product that's kind of exfoliating. But it's a little bit kind of to be expected if you're sweating constantly and then letting the sweat sit. I mean, and on the flip side, like, the sweat is also really good for you because it detoxes your pores. So,
and it makes you look younger, as you just said.
Exactly. That's right. That's so cool. It's not all bad. It's just can cause a little bit of aggravation.
Yeah. But that's what shirts are for. Right? So the last few things on the good food, because I want to talk about essential oils. So I'm just going to say fermented foods, great for your gut. As we spoke about, gut health affects your skin, right?
Yeah.
Spices, just good for you because it's good stuff in the spices, right?
Yeah, well, same thing. Lots of minerals. And I think one of these sort of ignored ways of making healthy, like, one of my pet peeves is how much people act like healthy, like, kale just tastes good on its own. It's like, no, it tastes good when you add like garlic and turmeric and you know what I mean? Yeah. Salt. Like, put things on the food. That stuff is good for you, and it will make your food taste better.
Yeah. And water. Just, you know, drink a ton of water for good skin.
Way more than you're drinking. One of those complicated nutrition things where they love to come out and be like, never mind, we said this was the water levels. But actually, one of my least favorite articles that ever came out was, I don't know if you read about this, but at some point they started going, no, just drink however much water you feel like you need to drink. You know how much you need to drink. It's like, okay, if you're at supreme health and fully hydrated, that's when you can trust how much water you need to be drinking. If you are drinking alcohol, if you are drinking soda, if you are really busy throughout the day, if you go one day not drinking enough water, thirst will actually start manifesting itself as hunger.
What? So just
listen to things that tell you, oh my God, just drink however
Wait,
you want.
Wait, say that again. If we have one day where we don't drink enough water, the next day we could be extra hungry.
Yeah, you will start feeling hunger instead of thirst.
I didn't know that. I mean, I knew that a lot of times hunger in a normal day can masquerade. I mean, dehydration in a normal day can masquerade as hunger. But I didn't realize that, like, you know, if we miss some water one day.
Yeah, you'll stop feeling thirsty. And so that's why I make a joke in the book. I'm like, get a sippy cup, get a water bottle, like do whatever it takes and just get the water in your body.
Wear a camelback all day. That'd be fun. So, okay. How do essential oils play into all of this? We're talking about food. We're talking about stress. We're talking about all this amazing stuff. Your new book, Just the Essentials, is the essential oil dream book. and I'm very new to essential oils, but very excited about them. And you write that yourself, you know, you were a skeptic of essential oils. So how did you get to writing a whole book about essential oils?
Well, because I think it's really similar to everything else in sort of my background and what I've been doing, which is that it's an entire, like, not just one ingredient, but this entire amazing sector of ingredients where we're kind of not talking about them in the right way and we're not getting the right information. And I was so frustrated when I first started creating the line. It was so frustrating to me how much research I had to do to even just learn about essential oils and how much, again, I was coming up against information where I was like, this doesn't sound right or this doesn't sound verified. And I really had to dig to find verified information about the essential oils.
Yeah, I was blown away in your book where you say, you know, that there are studies being done, but they're not sharing them really because natural plant substances can't easily be patented. So companies have nothing to gain from it. So, I mean, the example you gave, which really was mind blowing to me, was you said, you know, when was the last time you saw an ad for willow bark on the back of a city bus, but you've seen an ad for aspirin, which is derived from the willow tree?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So people are using essential oils in these like mainstream products like aspirin, but they're not saying the essential oil is like one of the major healing properties because they can't patent it, thus make money off of it?
Yes. Literally every single medicine, pharmaceutical, anything that we are using that is currently available to us is extracted originally from a plant. And the reason that they become pharmaceuticals is because they synthesize what they find in the plant so that they're able to patent it and turn it into something like aspirin. Well, and also, you know, that to me, that's my favorite part too, because that to me is the most sort of like eye-opening part. But it's also the other stuff that's in there. Like, think about, it's very, very difficult to control nature, as we know in a million different ways in our daily lives. You can't really control it. So that means that you can't make an aspirin bottle that's different from the aspirin bottle before it. But that's how nature works, right? It's going to vary. This is the thing that we have with our products. It's like they're going to vary from batch to batch. And so it's also largely that, like, how do we actually control this and make sure it has the same exact results every time? And that's by synthesizing it. That's by really, really controlling what's in it. And you can't really do that with plants, and you especially can't do it with essential oils. Essential oils hugely vary from batch to batch and will actually have different components in them from batch to batch. So you can buy one little bottle of tea tree oil and that can have one breakdown of components in it. And then the next bottle can be different. And that's just something that they're not going to mess around with, even though it's, and like my argument is that that's better for you. Like, roll with it.
Yeah. Well, I love that you call these, you know, essential oils, plant-based powerhouses. And you say that like one oil is really like eight medicines in one.
Totally. Right. Well, so this is another thing is that what's happened in the industry is a lot of us are actually using components of essential oils in a million different ways every day. And we have no idea, but they're pulling out the components because the components are good for you or they're fragrant or they have features that are preservative, anti-inflammatory. But actually, if you just go back to the essential oil itself, you're going to get 8 different components versus the one that's in your shampoo or in your cream.
That's so cool. So you just started using them in your products and then you realized, wait, these guys alone are incredible and thus worth their own book. And that's kind of how it all got started.
Yeah, I started using them on my skin. And that's when I sort of noticed that general ingredients, the things that we've talked about and sort of tend to think of, right, coconut oil, olive oil, shea butter, things like that, they're really soothing and they're really gentle. What I found with essential oils is that, like you're saying, and like I joke about in the book, that they're actually powerhouses, that they actually deliver results that you can put, use tea tree oil as a spot treatment and you will have, you're not just soothed, you will actually see a result almost immediately. And that's when I sort of started thinking through like, well, this is crazy because people don't even realize this. I haven't thought of this. You know, I go into the grocery store and you see those little the displays of essential right. oils. And I'd always been curious, but I found them kind of like, I don't know.
They're intimidating.
Actually. They're, like, yeah.
And they also seem, yeah, they're overhyped. Like, I mean, they seem too good to be true, really. And
totally.
They also seem really like it's this little teeny bottle that's pretty expensive. And what right. in hell am I supposed to
what
do with it?
What am I supposed to do? Exactly. Right. And not to mention, oh, wait, isn't it also a little bit scary? Like, I can't yeah. take this home and just put it straight on my skin. So that's, it's like your DIY nightmare story. It's like, I'm not going to take this home and like burn, which happens to people over and over. Like, oh, it burned my skin. Mm-hmm. And so now I don't use it anymore. And it's like, oh my God, that's such a huge disconnect to me because actually they are, that's medicine that you just don't quite know how to use correctly.
Right. Well, in your book, you lay out, you know, 10 beginner oils, all for under $15. How can you, is that true? We could get all these 10 oils for under $15?
Yes. I mean, I specifically chose them for that reason because I felt exactly the same as you and what you're saying. I was also like, some of these are so expensive. The idea that I would take home this oil that's like $40 or whatever, and then not know what to do with it, yeah. just crazy to me. And really what I was trying to do with the book is introduce whether or not people kind of know about essential oils or aren't totally beginners. I really wanted to start at like square one and be like, okay, but if you're just starting, here's a way to do this in a way that's not, and again, because it goes back to me feeling like wellness in general just is too exclusive and inaccessible. And
right.
that part of that is making it way, way, way too expensive. So I was trying to be like, look, you can actually go to the store and just buy some lemon for super cheap and use it in a million different ways. You don't need to go and buy like a super fancy, like even sandalwood oil, right? Which smells amazing, but yeah, maybe like don't start there until you know that you like essential oils, period. But mm-hmm. then even more than that, until you know which ones you like. Because this is another thing that I think gets pushed on people, right? It's like everyone wants
frankincense.
Like, here's the ones that you just have to get into. And it's like, maybe you're just like a citrus girl. Like
right.
No one should be deciding this for you.
Totally. So does SW Basics sell oils?
So we just started, yeah, we're like dipping our toes in it. So the top 10 oils that are in the book, we started selling as, this was to me another big problem in the industry, that whole like disconnect between taking the bottle home and then being like, oh, but now I actually have to DIY with it.
Right.
So again, what I was trying to do is kind of bridge that gap. So ours are blended down so that you can use them straight on your skin. And
perfect.
The second differentiator is that it also bothers me that the stuff that is made for your skin is always a blend. And I think that goes back to the same issue, which is how do you know which ones are working for you and which ones aren't?
I see what you're saying. Like multiple oils in one thing.
Exactly. It's like 4 essential oils, right? And usually that's not even right. It's like 15.
Right.
It's like, what if you just don't like peppermint and there's peppermint in there? What if your skin
True.
Doesn't like peppermint? There's peppermint in there. And I really wanted to teach people how to interact with one oil at a time so that then when you're going to the blends, you really know what you're like. So ours are 1 essential oil blended down with organic sunflower oil so you can use it straight on your skin, but
Cool.
so that you're really getting to know like lemon by itself, not, you know, a blend that tells you that there's lemon in it, but there's so much other stuff in there that you can't really gauge what the lemon is like.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you sell these top 10 oils in like with a carrier oil so people can apply them right to your skin.
Yeah, in a little with a roller ball.
Oh, perfect.
I like to make products that help people be as lazy as possible. Even though it's so funny because like you said, I'm like, you should DIY. But I know. Also, it's if you're lazy.
No, it's perfect because like DIY. No, it's great. No, you're like you're helping the people that don't want to DIY but still get DIY quality.
Right, exactly.
So for essential oils, you know, the ones that you recommend, are there different ways to use all of them? Like if they're all in the roly ball, because I know from what I've learned that with essential oils, some are better for putting, I guess, on your body or on certain places or diffusing or whatever. So are the ones that you've listed out, they're all great for on the body?
Yes. Some of them I do say like we'll write on the packaging. Some of them I would say like put on your face because it's going to make a good spot treatment or it's going to make your skin look better. Whereas other ones like a eucalyptus, rosemary, that's two of them. Those ones are, at least for me, the best way to use them is if you're feeling sick or if you're trying to prevent being sick. And so that's really different to me because that's something that I would say like put on your chest or put around your nose, especially because you're trying to like stop bacteria from getting in there. So it's kind of different based on what they are, but they are all, meaning some are for skin and some are a little more like for aromatherapy benefits.
Right.
But you're rolling all of them sort of in the same way, just in different locations.
Oh, cool. So you can use the oils as aromatherapy without a diffuser. You could just smell.
Yes.
Can you just smell the roly thing?
Yes. Isn't that crazy? That's how powerful, because they're also really volatile, which means they evaporate super quickly into your airwaves. So you can open a bottle and just smell it and it'll work. But basically what we're trying to do is like put it on your skin so it does that.
That's why also essential oils just seems like such, not a scam, but like really?
Insane.
You can just smell something and it can help you feel better. That's crazy. And they try to sell us stuff like that all the time. And we buy it like, oh my God, if I get this latest powder or gel,
I was just gonna say
you
that.
Know, we're good to go. But it's like hard to believe that like lemon oil can do something for us.
Well, think about, here's a way that maybe still sounds a little bit hippie, but I think hits home a little bit better. Think about the difference in how you feel if you sit in your house or apartment for an entire day versus if you're outside for an entire day. The reason you feel different when you're outside is because of the plants. And all that essential oil is if you take a peppermint leaf and you touch it with your hand and you smell your hand, that's the plant's essential oil.
It's the power of plants. We love plants here at Party in My Plants. So, I mean, essential oils are just it. So the top 10 ones that you mentioned.
So they're affordable and I think they're really versatile. So they cross over to like a million different uses. And I think that they just kind of like pack the most, they're really like easy to use. They're not like, okay, you need to take this and then you're going to need to turn it into this product to really enjoy it.
Right. Well, a lot of these I haven't even really heard. I've never heard of cinnamon oil, really. What is that for?
Oh, it's amazing. Oh my gosh. So cinnamon oil is generally aromatherapeutic. It's extremely anti-inflammatory, but I mainly love it because of the aromatherapeutic benefits, because it's mood boosting. And I think it's just really sexy, like the spiciness of it.
Yeah.
Nice. And I think it's like the one that kind of from that, the group in the book is the most sort of like feels perfumey when you wear it. Mm. It's just like really, really nice.
What's it good for?
So on your skin, it's anti-inflammatory, which means it'll actually fight with like, if you're prone to being like super itchy and red and rashy, but it is definitely like one of the harsher ingredients. So it's actually one of the lowest dilution of the functional fragrances that we came out with.
Ooh, I like that. Functional fragrances.
Yeah.
Clever.
It'll boost your mood. You know what I would say actually that cinnamon that a lot of people don't know is it's a really effective migraine treatment.
Ooh.
And scientifically proven to be an effective migraine treatment.
That's
so I actually
great.
Really like to roll it when I like feel sort of headachy on my temples and in between my eyebrows and kind of like right below my ears and
nice.
Under my the nape of my neck, and you'll feel better instantly. It's crazy.
That's awesome. And peppermint too, right? That's another one of your top 10.
Yes.
That's good for migraines.
Is really good for headaches. Yeah, yeah. And good also for tension headaches. So really good for headaches that come from other things. So peppermint helps to soothe your system in a way that, like, when you're reacting to nausea, when you're reacting to, like, motion sickness, really, really nervousness, like an upset stomach, it's helped tremendously. Both peppermint and lavender have been proven in studies to help people when they're, like, recovering from surgery, because your body's just going through so many different, like, intense things. But
yeah.
To combat sort of the effects of how much your body is, like, coming down from the surgery, peppermint and lavender, yeah, are the two top oils.
That's awesome. And lavender, another one of the top 10, is also great for, I mean, we all know it's just for relaxation, right? Chilling us out.
I mean, the thing that I like about lavender that I think people don't really understand, because it's so popular, but I think it kind of tends to get, yeah, what you're saying, that attention. But the reason lavender is such an amazing oil is because it has a really even split of a bunch of different components, which means it actually will sedate you, which means it'll calm you down while also energizing you. So because, so some oils, so let's say like citrus oils, lemon and sweet orange, which are on there, actually tend to kind of be mood boosting. Like, you wouldn't put some lemon on your skin or like aromatherapy before bed, because it's just going to energize you. It's just going to raise you up. But lavender, and actually lemongrass, has the same effect, will sedate you. They'll calm you down. You'll feel kind of less anxious. But at the same time, they will actually help give you energy. So it's this really nice, almost like, I think they should be used more in the daytime. Tends to be thought of as like, do this at night. I think largely because we tend to, a lot of us, especially these days, tend to have most of our anxiety come out at night. So it'll kind of calm that down and help you sleep.
Huh. Well, that's actually pretty ironic, because in my diffuser next to my bed, I put lavender and lemongrass because, I just came back from Thailand and we got lemongrass oil, and I can't get enough of it.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, we do lemongrass and chamomile at night, and it's
I don't know chamomile. But
yeah, some nights, actually, I think you'll start to notice over time. Hopefully I don't kind of jinx it for you. But some nights we'll burn lemongrass and we'll be like, oh, I feel really energetic today. Tonight I feel kind of awake. So it kind of has both effects based on how you're feeling.
I love that lemongrass is the one of your top 10. I didn't, like, that's not as common. I thought it was just like, I was in Thailand, I got it. I didn't realize it was so medicinal as well.
My God, it's so amazing. And I feel like, no one ever really talks about it. And I think it
smells amazing. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous, right? And you feel good and you're like instantly happier and calm and, and that's kind of what all of those have in common, in a sense, is they just like make you feel better instantly.
Yeah. And then there's clary sage, which I've never heard of. What is clary sage?
Oh, amazing. So clary sage has like a weird history that makes the name like have nothing to actually do with how it's created. But basically, it's a really herbal oil. So I really wanted to include some in there that are sort of a little more like earthy, because I think this is another thing that happens with essential oils, is people tend to focus on the floral ones and the ones that are really like fruity and like light and kind of girly, honestly, to tell the truth.
Yeah. Lavender's pretty girly.
Yeah. So it was it actually used to be used to flavor wine, which I think is a little bit of where the name came from, but it's really, really good for the skin. Hugely antibacterial and hugely anti-inflammatory. So really, really good for when your skin tends to be aggravated. It's also an astringent. So it kind of works as like a gentle toner.
Sweet.
And actually gentle enough to use, I think, straight on the skin. But again, like in the book, I say like, just don't. No need to do that. Start by diluting it.
With a carrier oil, right?
Exactly. You don't really need to use that much. So like a couple of drops and apply it on the skin is like an amazing face oil.
Yeah. Well, I used to actually, another one of yours is tea tree oil. And my mom used to buy me tea tree like rollers when I was in high school, and I would get breakouts and for a spa treatment. So I thought it was a hoot that that's what you recommend for it too, is a spa treatment.
Oh yes. Tea tree to me is like one of these oils that's like why it should be in every single human's medicine cabinet. It's like, as a spa treatment, yes, that's the number one way that I would say that people should use it. But the thing to me about teacher oil that's crazy is I tell a story in the book about how I was, when my wisdom teeth were growing in, and I was freaking out because I'm obviously, as in case people, this will not come as a shock, but I hate doctors and surgery. I know.
What?
Hard to believe. but I was trying so hard not to get them pulled, and I kept getting infections, and no joke, would put tea tree oil on every single time, would put tea tree oil on and would experience not only pain relief instantly, because it's extremely pain relieving, but the inflammation would be gone overnight. And I completely fought off these infections numerous times before I finally gave in to the man.
Oh, you gave in. Wow. That's cool. So it's more for pain as well as, you know, pimples. Pain and pimps.
Very great for toothaches. That's what I'll say. Toothaches. Just put it in, have it in your cabinet and use it for breakouts. But remember, if you have a toothache, it's in your cabinet.
Sweet. And you can just roll the roly right onto your toothache area or on your finger first.
I like to soak a Q-tip and then hold it to your gum. Okay. I think that that's kind of the easiest way.
That's good. And then in the same family, kind of eucalyptus and rosemary are the final two.
Yes.
Eucalyptus is kind of what gives Vicks Vapor Rub its smell, right?
Exactly. Yep. And what actually gives it benefits, right?
There you go.
It'll clear up phlegm. It'll help clear up if you have a cold. It'll help clear out, like if your sinuses are really clogged. So eucalyptus and rosemary are the two that I say to help fight, like allergies. If you have respiratory issues, use both of them. Rosemary kills when airborne. So you can diffuse rosemary and it will kill 99% of flu that is like any sort of flu bacteria or virus that's in the air. 99% of it will get killed just by burning rosemary oil.
So I feel like people should just be diffusing, especially doctor's offices.
And now you see how I feel. This is what I mean. They are medicine and we just don't really know. And again, you know, this stuff I know sounds crazy.
It does.
But what I did for that book is like everything I'm telling you is not from like, oh, I Googled it. It's me going into like really in deep into like libraries and into scholarly journals and really trying to make sure I found like, okay, this is a study where they actually had rosemary airborne and they found, you know what I mean?
Seriously,
like I'm not just going like, this is what people say. It's rather, no, this has actually been proven. And it's still mind blowing because I always assumed I'm going to go try to look for research and it's not going to be there. And that's just not the case. It's just not being told to us.
It's funny you mentioned that because as I was reading the books, both of them, I mean, I just kept seeing stats and citings of studies. And I was so impressed that you cite so many studies and that makes it so legit. Because like you said, it's not just personal experience or Wikipedia or whatever. You're citing real stuff. And B, that you make it, although it's like a pretty sciencey, both of your books are kind of sciencey and very educational. They're hilarious. So I just want to say props to making
thank you.
It really fun to read and learn about the skin and the science stuff. It's pretty amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. I try.
Yeah, you killed it. So if you were deserted on an island and you had one essential oil to take with you, what would it be?
Oh, that is so hard and so mean. Oh my God, I think it would be lemongrass.
Oh, perfect.
Isn't that crazy?
Unless you were in Thailand.
Really? Yeah, that's right. I mean, already tropical, right? Yeah. I hope I'm stuck on a tropical island.
True.
But I think it's just has this smell that makes you feel so good and optimistic. And also the fact that it manages to kind of calm you down, which is obviously would be super necessary.
Totally. Yeah, you'd be panicked on that island. Okay, so before I let you go, I just have a few fun personal questions for you, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'd love to know if you have a favorite plant party restaurant, which is just a great tasting plant restaurant.
Oh my gosh.
Did you used to work at Pure Food and Wine? Because I saw you shout out Sarma. You did.
That for sure would have been my favorite.
Mine too.
That's what I used to say. And now it's gone.
R.I.P.
Sad. I recently went to Candle Cafe, which is freaking amazing. So maybe I'll say that.
Okay.
So good.
I can't believe you used to work for Sarma.
Isn't that nuts? That's like a whole other.
That's a whole other podcast. I hope they should do like a serial podcast series on Sarma.
Oh, My God. I feel like a lot of people would listen to that.
Oh, I would. I mean, or they should make like a Lifetime movie with like Blake Lively as Sarma or something. Like, this is the craziest story I've ever heard. And if people don't know, I'll put links to stuff in the show notes.
Oh, crazy. So sad. R.I.P. for R.I.P. that whole.
But Neil has ABCV.
Yes. He's amazing. Great. Oh my God. That's what I should be saying. So I just tried it for the first time, which is why I didn't think of it, because I feel like I need to go like 1,000 more times.
Right. He's coming on the show too. So I'm excited.
Oh my God. He's amazing. It's hands down best vegetarian meal I've ever had in my entire life. The thing about Neil is you just don't even feel like you're eating. You're just like, what? Yeah. Like the whole time, every time I see him, I'm just like, Neil, how did you do this? And he's like so humble. So he's just like, what? And I'm like, no, you know, deep down, you know what's happening here. ABCV is amazing. Yeah. Maybe it's like, those will be my two answers. Candle Cafe is sort of like the chill,
like sort comfort of like food.
Easy one to go to. Yeah. Amazing. Oh my gosh. Tempeh BLT with avocado. So good. And then Neil, ABCV, like if you can get a reservation and go there, it is just like life-changing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly agree with that. And what's your favorite plant to eat?
Favorite plant to eat? Oh my God. I've heard some of the podcasts and I know people always say kale. So I feel like it's kale because it's so obvious.
I know. But it's everyone's fave.
I know. Well, it's so, once you love it, once you learn how to eat it, it's just so good.
Totally.
But no, come up with something more interesting.
Oranges. Right? You're a Florida girl, you said.
Yeah, that's right. No, I'm going to go with oranges. Thanks for doing. Actually, you know what I would say truly is grapefruits. I'm obsessed with grapefruits. Another super underrated fruit.
So that underrated. That's like a grandma food.
For you, not too sweet. I know. It's fruits that it's like, go buy a grapefruit and just take your time eating
What do you do with it? You just eat it, just peel it, eat it?
So I really like it plain, yeah, but I know that for a lot of people it's basically like bitter and sour. It's really good with honey.
Oh, I usually put stevia on it, but I've never tried honey. That sounds so good.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Ooh, just a little drizzled.
Yes.
Yum. Yeah. All right, I'm going to definitely try that. What about your most used kitchen tool?
Most used kitchen tool, probably our little, we have this little handy garlic press and we eat so much garlic. Oh my gosh.
Oh, is that good for the skin?
Yes. Oh my God. And really good for, it kills bad gut bacteria, which a lot of people, including myself, have built up by eating tons of junk food.
Right.
So my parents are from Romania. So I'm Eastern European. And in Romania, what they do is they just crush. So we have this little garlic press. And you crush it in the press and then you just mix it with a little bit of water and salt and you let it sit. So this is another tip that people usually don't know is that the enzymes in garlic take about 15 minutes to actually come out. So especially if you're cooking with it, it's better to leave it for a little bit. But they actually just pour it raw on top of their food. So we do that.
This like garlic sauce thing?
Yes. Wow. It's really intense. Amazing.
Cool.
And then you smell really bad. So.
Yeah. And then you use homemade toothpaste from your book.
Yeah. Which
with peppermint
not
oil.
Really help with garlic smell.
No.
Basically go to bed and then wake up.
Okay. And just don't have any social events.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is there an amazing book besides your two amazing books that's really inspired you in some awesome way?
I would say probably the book that's inspired me the most, which is a little bit like maybe unexpected, is Animal Vegetable Miracle. Did you read that
book? I've never heard of it. Animal Vegetable Miracle.
Oh my gosh. It really rocked my world because it really made me feel. So it's by Barbara Kingsolver, and it's basically about her taking a year to get to really know her food. And to get to know, like, she moved to a farm, the family moved to a farm, and they started to, like, grow their own food. And I think it's what really put me on this path of, like, of wanting to actually know, like, where your health and wellness comes from, if that makes sense. Like, to really understand, like, oh, food is something that we all used to have an extremely intimate relationship with, and now that's been fully, fully removed from our lives. And it's just her kind of going through that experience and realizing like, wait a second, here's what it's like to actually like grow something in the ground. And here's what it's like to actually like have animals and what it feels like. And it really just made me be like, oh, it's kind of simple and no one's really talking about it.
That is what your two books do. You just summed up your books.
Oh, thank you.
You make
skin. Oh my gosh, that makes me so happy.
I mean, that's what you just described.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like the nicest thing you could have said.
Well, thank you. It's a perfect way to end because that is what you do. You make this stuff that's so complicated and there's so many barriers through doctors and the industries and the media, and you bring us back to the roots and you show us what it's all about and how we can take control of our health. And you're funny and nice and it's amazing.
Oh my
talking
God,
to you.
You're
thank
so
you.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is like the night. Can we just talk all the time?
Sure. I live right around the corner, so we could meet up by Chloe and talk all the time.
Please, let's go eat some veggie food. Yes. Let's go visit Neil together.
Okay, that'd be great. And before we do that, where can everyone go to learn all about you and get hooked on SW Basics?
So our site is swbasics.com. It's with an S at the end. And I'm all up on social media. If people have like direct questions, particularly about DIYing, probably the best thing to do is to find me personally on Instagram, which is just Adina Gregory.
You answer people's personal questions about DIY problems?
Obviously.
Wow. I don't know. Maybe you'd outsource that to someone.
No.
Oh my. Nate. Okay.
Not yet.
Now I'm curious. Yeah. Seriously. What's like one of the, I don't know, weirdest, funniest, most common, something that you get from people about DIY problems?
Actually, I think that what tends to happen most commonly is people want to be perfect and they're having a hard time being perfect. So I would say the number one thing is people trying to be super advanced DIYers and they're like, I made this thing and it came out and here's how it came out, but it's not perfect, or I don't feel like it's perfect. Is this what it's supposed to be like? So this is goes back to like everything I've always done is me just going, sounds great.
Sounds right. Like you're doing
it exactly right. And, you know, and feeling like, wait, well, I did things at this percentage, but should I do it at a different percentage? And so really commonly it's me just being like, yeah, it's not, did you like it? How did it feel on your skin? And also just us being used to like a certain way that product should come out. And I'm like, no, put it on your skin. Tell me how it feels. Let's start there.
Full circle. How does it feel?
Yeah.
Boom. Shakalaka. Well, thank you again so much.
Oh my God, it's been record.
Such
thank
a pleasure.
This was awesome.
Right? I told you this was an epic episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope you're feeling jazzed to just do the basics and maybe even try SW Basics. Remember to use Plants15 on swbasics.com to save 15% on your orders. Or just go ahead and try to DIY. Her two books are packed with awesome DIY skincare recipes. Let me know how that goes. I'm still scarred from my coconut oil hair mask experience. Special thanks again to Amazing Grass for being my partners in crime when I need plants in my bod stat, but I don't have time or desire, let's be honest, to juice myself. Plus, even if I did juice myself, I couldn't get the bonus probiotics and matcha and other fancy healthy shiz that they put in their green powder anyway. As a reminder, Amazing Grass is being amazingly generous to Party in My Plants podcast listeners and is offering you 40% off your Amazing Grass orders if you go to their website, amazinggrass.com, and use promo code PLANTPARTY40 at checkout. As always, you'll find a link to their site, all the notes from this episode, links to everything Adina and SW Basics have going on, and so much more that make healthy living not suck at partyinmyplants.com/32.